Okay, I've got a question for you. Who has been on holiday recently? Don't tell me where you went, just raise your hand if you've been on holiday. Okay, there's a number of you. Okay, when you went on holiday, who took one of these? It doesn't have to be Virgin, but just, yeah. Who took one of these? Where did you go? You went to America. Did you take Virgin? Oh, disappointed. Where did you go? There, back. Barbados. Brilliant. Anywhere else? Yeah? Jamaica. Love that place. Okay, so I asked you that question because there's one myth I really want to clear up about pilots, okay? And here is the myth on the screen. It says that pilots get to choose where they want to fly and when. That is the biggest lie, okay? Pilots actually, in fact, have very, very little say in where they get to fly, okay? And most importantly, how they get there, okay? So pilots, they get one of these, okay? I've got one here. Not exactly this. This is a flight plan, okay? This is the one I use for my flight simulator at home, but they'll get something similar to this, okay? The flight plan actually dictates how the pilot should get from point A to point B safely. Okay, so once that pilot is booked on that flight to go, for example, from Gatwick to Jerusalem, they'll be given a flight plan and that will instruct them on the safest possible route to get there. Okay? If the pilot wants to deviate from his flight plan, he must contact the air traffic controller in order to do this safely. Okay? So if we just quickly summarize what we have there, we actually have two main sources of information which pilots have in order for them to fly safely. So the first, as I said, is a flight plan. This flight plan is gold dust, okay? This is the word, okay? They call it the word. This is what they follow to the T. That's safety, okay? And the second thing they get is the air traffic control to make sure that they're actually following this appropriately, okay? And all of this is for one main thing. For safety. Yeah. When you're coming to air travel, it's all about safety. Even if you're flying with Ryanair, safety is number one. Okay? And all of this, all of these, you know, flight plans and air traffic control and safety regulations, it's all for really one main thing. And that's to get you to your holiday destination so you can soak up some sun. And if you're lucky enough, some of you go to Jamaica, so you get lots of sun there. I'm just going to invite Chirabo up to have a little reading for us. Now, she's going to be reading from Jonah chapter 1, and hopefully you'll understand why I've been talking about planes.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So then they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? For what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault and that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. O Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights.
Thank you. Okay, so a lot is going on in that chapter. Okay, we're actually taken on both a physical and spiritual journey with Jonah in just that first chapter. So what I've decided to do, I've decided to split up the chapter into different sections so we can see what's going on here. So the first section I've actually got, section one, I call it the request or the instruction. Okay, so Jonah is instructed to go to Nineveh and preach against it. Jonah is completely aware God is speaking to him because it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In other words, Jonah received his flight plan. Okay? He didn't just receive his flight plan. He read it. He was aware of it. When God instructed him to do something, the word of the Lord came to him. So he heard it, he listened to it, and he was aware of what God was asking us to do. Sorry, was asking him to do. He is told to go to Nineveh and preach against it. That is the instruction. It is in the very next verse, just verse 3, where we experience the second incident, which I like to call refusal or disobedience. Okay? When faced with the option of either going God's way or no way, Jonah does neither. He goes his own way. Okay? He goes in the opposite direction. Rather than even considering to go to Nineveh, he actually ends up going to Tarshish in the complete opposite direction. Rather than standing at the crossroads and thinking about God's request, it takes him one verse to decide to go in the opposite direction. So I believe that Jonah's deciding to go to Tarshish. He's trying to make a way, make a life perhaps away from God, where he doesn't have to listen or consider the demanding, if you like, requests of God. Now, many think this is quite a natural response from Jonah, considering that Nineveh is described as a wicked place. Okay, so very often people might say, well, we can understand why Jonah wanted to go in the opposite direction. We are told that Nineveh is wicked. Okay, it must have been very scary. He must have been, you know, scared of the consequences if people didn't like what he was saying. So we often sympathize with Jonah's position. Okay, he must have been frightened. We almost begin to legitimize Jonah's disobedience, because it's easy to believe that when we are asked to do something that we really don't feel up to doing, even if it's from God, it's okay to ignore the request. And this naturally leads to the third incident, the consequence. So as a result of Jonah's disobedience, and he decides to get onto that boat, a storm is sent in his direction. A huge storm which threatens to break up the ship hits him. So my question to you is, what was Jonah doing at this time? Can anyone remember? He was sleeping. So the consequence of his disobedience was the storm. Okay? He's sitting on the boat and he's asleep, whilst everyone else is suffering the consequence. Okay, we are told that the sailors were feared. They were scared at what was going on. And yet Jonah was oblivious. He was sleeping. So this is what I find quite interesting. From verses 1 to 4, we go through three main notions. Let's go through them now. So we've got the request. So in verse 2, God asked Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh. That's in verse 2. It's in the very next verse, verse 3, where Jonah decides to refuse God's request. And then straight after in verse 4, we receive the consequence. It's in verse 6 when Jonah becomes aware of the consequence caused by his decision to disobey God. And it is six verses later when he actually accepts responsibility. Okay? That's his response. There in verse 12 is when he starts to take responsibility for what goes wrong. As I said, it takes Jonah about one verse for him to unvolunteer himself from God's request, and yet six verses before he actually responds. So what does this mean for us? So I'm going to kind of summarize what we've gone through so far. The idea of a terrifying storm in Jonah's case gives the impression that God is punishing him and perhaps even the people around him because of his disobedience. The storm could be interpreted as a show of God's power and might, and how any attempt to disobey God will result in consequences, terrible consequences. But I think there's another way of actually analysing this. I think the storm was used to alert Jonah, to show him that he had made a terrible mistake, to show him that actually it was wrong for him to go his way, and he should have gone God's way. But I'm actually going to take it a bit further. I'm going to say that Jonah accepted his calling. It was because of the storm Jonah actually accepted his calling. He was called to go to Nineveh, but he decided to go in a different direction. And God used the storm to bring him back to Nineveh. God had to do something to stop him from running away. The storm allowed Jonah to accept his calling, allowed Jonah to accept the fact that God had a greater plan than his, which will result in the fulfillment of many. So I would actually describe the storm as a guidance, a point in the right direction for Jonah. Yes, it was scary and terrifying for the people around him, but it worked in this particular case. I really encourage you to look and listen to God. See what he is calling you to do. In some respects, all of us as Christians are called to do and behave in a similar way, and that is to follow the life of Jesus. If you have a Bible, can you just hold it up for me, please? That's disappointing. If you've got a phone, can you hold it up, please? Because I know most of us have our Bibles on our phone. And I want you to hold it up, and I want you to say, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." The word of the Lord came to Jonah. You see, you are holding up the word, right? You have got the word in your hand. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah to give him the instruction, and yet we all have the word of the Lord in our hand. That's the Bible. That is our instruction on how we can live our lives. So as Christians, when we have an instruction from God, which is to live a godly life, to live a life which mimics the life of Jesus, we can look to the word of the Lord to guide us on that. I'm not trying to say that if you disobey God or if you decide to go in a different direction for the time being, bad things are going to happen to you. God is going to send a punishment. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say to you is that if you do decide to walk away from God, God may send something in your direction, a storm or something to alert you, to show you to come back to him. I encourage you that if God has sent you a request, if God has given you a calling, and there's a bit of a storm going on at the moment, don't sit on the boat like Jonah did for six verses while the storm strengthens and it gets rougher and rougher, as it tells us. But act fast. Listen to what God's asking you to do. Look to the word and see where you can learn how to get that godly life. Jonah chapter 3 verse 5 says the Ninevites believed in God. One of the world's hardest landings to do is in Hong Kong Kai Tak International Airport. Okay? So if you want to go on holiday to Hong Kong Kai Tak and you're going to take a plane there, pilots don't choose anyone to fly there. They choose the people who they know are capable of it. Okay? Jonah was chosen to do something. Okay? God had a role for Jonah. God needed someone to change Nineveh, and he didn't choose anyone. He chose a person he knew was capable of it. Jonah didn't believe that he was capable. Jonah didn't believe he could do it. That's why he ran in the opposite direction. But he could. He could do it. God knew what was best. God knew his ability. And I really encourage you to stand up and to step forward to God and say, actually, God, you know what I'm able of doing. And if there's a calling, if there's something you need me to do, I am willing to do it. I surrender my life to you because I know that you are in control. I pray you are willing to obey and honor God. And I hope that you are willing to live for God. I hope we can stand and sing together now, please.